you got a Bible, real quick, I'm going to read a passage that I've probably read or spoken the last couple of weeks out of John 10:10, Jesus talking. He says this, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. And I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." That's from the New King James Version. We're starting a series called Made for More. And what does that look like to you? What does it look like that when I say you are made for more, where does your mind go? Does your mind go to circumstances more than what, go to what's presently happening to you in your life? But if I'm saying you are made for more than what you're experiencing right now, where does that lead you? More money? More kids? Maybe you're split on that today. More responsibilities, more joy, more peace. If you were made for more than what has currently happened to you, I guess the question is, why are you not experiencing that? Why am I not experiencing that? If there's more, then what is blocking us from experiencing more? Could it be that you and I and what more looks like could be different to what it looks like for us than it does to God? And that maybe God is saying, I have more for you, you just don't like the more that I have for you. See, because when I say that I want more, then there has to be less of something. And for there to be less of something so that I can have more of God, now I have to evaluate where I am. So if God's saying, I'm wanting to give you more patience, then you have to acknowledge that you are not the most patient person in the room. If you are saying, I need less fear in my life, then God says, before I can give you confidence and peace, that fear has to be removed. You have to acknowledge that you have anxiety issues. That's difficult, you guys. So again, before we go, God, I want more. God, I know I was made for more. Can you give me more? God goes, I can. You just might not like the more that I give you. Because again, if something is full, it doesn't matter how much I pour into it if there's no room. So God speaks to all of us in different ways. God tends to speak to me with car issues. Yeah? I mean, it's just, you're driving down the road, all of a sudden, blown tire. Driving down the road, all of a sudden a belt breaks and your car just dies. And it's never a convenient time or location. Yeah? It's not like your car is saying, can I die today when you are off work and you have nothing to do? That's not happening, right? I'll never forget, and I know I've told this story before, but it is the best car story that I've ever had. Driving from Granite City to St. Louis, going over the Poplar Street on a Monday morning when my tire blew. On the Poplar Street at 8:15 on a Monday morning, looking over into the river, it happened to be my side back tire, and I'm sitting there and I do what every person should do. I called my dad. And I can hear the tone in my dad's voice. What do you want me to do about this? It's a great question. I just needed words of comfort as I was getting flipped off by the people driving by me. To which you want to stop every car and say, sorry, I didn't plan this today. Sorry to inconvenience you that you might have to get over into the left lane and don't hit me. Thankfully, MoDOT stopped. They cut off the other lane. Now he's getting flipped off and not me. He changes the tire. I'm on my way with my spare. Okay? Not convenient, not necessary. But I think God speaks to us the most and says, I have more for your life with this word, with the detours of our lives. That what if you were made for more, but the only way you're going to experience the more is to follow the detours that you have in your life. See, you and I want more in the calm, in the present, in the where I'm comfortable, but God says, no, no, no. I'm the God of more, but it's in the detours. This is not your plan. This is not the path that you chose. You thought you were heading to this destination. I would say this. If you've ever been driving and you see this sign, it's like a cuss word when you're driving. You see this, and what does this instantly mean? It means delayed. It means not my plan. This isn't how it was supposed to be going. This is not what I wanted today. And now I may not even get to my destination. I'm definitely not getting there on time. This is what this means. And God says, I have detours for your life, but watch what I want to do in those detours. Watch the more that I want to do in your life. See, you and I, again, we want life to be calm, smooth, collected. Oh man, give me more now, God. And God says, I'm choosing this to give you more. So, probably a different path than you thought I was going to go. That sometimes the bad things, the delayed things, the windy roads, the rock roads, the off roads, the back roads that we take in life may put us directly on the road to the best things that will ever happen to us. So let's dive in. Exodus chapter 13 is where I'll spend some of my time. But before I get there, John 16:33, this is what Jesus said after he's talking to his disciples. He says, I have told you all of this, so that you may have peace in me. And here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world. Here's Jesus' big thinking. His big thinking that is different than you and I is Jesus thinks eternal, where you and I think present. We have to see this. You and I think this is the worst thing that's ever happened to me, and you think now. Jesus thinks I've overcome the world, but it may not look like you think when we overcome. He's saying, I've overcome the world so that you may spend eternity with me. First and foremost, that's the main objective. I've come to seek and to save those that are lost. That's Jesus' objective. And he's letting us know, hey, in this world, I'm giving you my peace, but you're going to have some trials and you're going to have sorrows. And we can all attest to that. The promise was not smooth sailing. The promise was not smooth anything. It was, if anything, the promise that Jesus had was, hey, you're going to have trials and you're going to have sorrows. It's a good word, huh? You're like, ooh, that's good. Glad I went to church today. Exodus 13, I'm going to skip around. Verse 17, 18 says, when Pharaoh finally let the people go, God did not lead them along the main road that runs through Philistine territory, even though that was the shortest route to the promised land. Who didn't lead them? God. God did not lead them the shortest way. Listen, your path to success, your path to transformation is quick. God's is not. You want to be an overnight sensation. Jesus says that's not possible. You're a process. Jesus, if anything, hear this. Enjoy the journey. Enjoy the process. You are a process. It says God led them. He did not lead them along the main road through, even though it was the shortest. God said if the people are faced with a battle, they might change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led them in a roundabout way through the wilderness toward the Red Sea. Thus the Israelites left Egypt like an army ready for battle. Listen, God might lead you in a roundabout way, but it's to prepare you for the battle ahead. And you don't see the battle ahead, you only see what's in front of you. This is when we find out whether we trust God or not. This is when I find out that, do I say God is in control as an anthem, as the thing that I scream, or do I actually believe that God is in control? This is when we find out. It never said the devil did this. Okay. Verse 21, the Lord went ahead of them. He guided them during the day with a pillar of cloud, and he provided light at night with a pillar of fire. This allowed them to travel by day or night. Now, understand this. Would we not agree that verse 21 is a miracle? I mean, how many times have you guys been walking at night and you're like, ooh, fire in the air. I'm going to follow that. No, not happened. Anybody? Okay, so it's a miracle. How did they experience this miracle? I think they found themselves in a position of needing a miracle. The shortest route, they don't get this. So verse 4 of chapter 14. And once again, God said, I will harden Pharaoh's heart and he will chase after you. I've planned this in order to display my glory through Pharaoh as his and his whole army. After this, the Egyptians will know that I am the Lord. So the Israelites camped there as they were told. He's going to harden Pharaoh's heart and they will chase after you. Jesus, I'm wanting you to stop them from chasing after us. He says, actually, I'm allowing them to chase after you. Also another key point, verse 10. As Pharaoh approached, the people of Israel looked up and panicked when they saw the Egyptians overtaking them, and they cried out to the Lord. Can I just say this? That maybe the position you're in is for you to cry out to God, and the more in your life is that you depend on God the most in your life when you are the most afraid. When you can't control the situation, you then turn to God. Maybe that's the point. Maybe the point is for you to give this thing to God and not try to figure it out for yourself, verse 13. But Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today will never be seen again. The Lord himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Is that what you want to hear in the most chaotic time of your life? Hey, don't be afraid and just stay calm. And by the way, stop. Be still. Be still in what? And know that I am the Lord. How does that feel? God, that the more that you want me to experience, the more that I'm made for, I have to stop. And I have to be still. And you're telling me things like, just don't be afraid and stay calm. He's saying, just be still. When your life is crazy and chaotic and the worst things have happened to you, he's saying, just be still. And in that stillness, know that I'm God. In that stillness, don't be afraid. In that stillness, stay calm. Good pep talk. Verse 22. So the people of Israel walked through the middle of the sea on dry ground, with walls of water on each side, and then the Egyptians, all of Pharaoh's horses and chariots and charioteers, chased them into the middle of the sea. Miracle? Verse 30. And that is how the Lord rescued Israel from the hand of the Egyptians that day. And the Israelites saw the bodies of the Egyptians washed up on the seashore. And when the people of Israel saw the mighty power that the Lord had unleashed against the Egyptians, they were filled with awe before him. And they put their faith in the Lord and in his servants. Verse 13 of chapter 15. And with your unfailing love, you led the people you have redeemed. In your might, you guide them to your sacred home. There's one verse that I want to go back to is when he says, lest the people change their minds when they see war and return. Listen, the battle that is raging in your life for more is that there's always a tendency to go back to who you used to be. There's always a tendency in that moment where your heart is crying out, God, I know there's more for my life than what I'm currently, there's always a temptation to go back. That is why Moses prayed the prayer, lest they change their minds and want to go back to what? Go back to what in Egypt? Slavery. It's not like they're going back to a four-bedroom, three-bathroom house. Not like they're going back to an incredible job. They're going back to slavery. Lest they change their minds and go back to bondage, addiction. He's saying there's always a temptation when you want more for your life. The temptation is always to change your mind when it gets hard. When the enemy is fighting you. When you don't feel like you've overcome. The temptation is always there to do that. Five quick things. The way God leads us may not make sense to us, but he has his reasons for each and every detour. I love how the Bible says that. Lest they change their minds when they see war and return to Egypt. Rest assured, God is sovereign, and his wisdom has a reason for the detours that happen in your life. And you may not see the reason. You may not see the reason for that detour, but God has a reason. And I'll say this, and this hurts a lot of us in this room. You may never know the reason this side of heaven. And I think that's the biggest conflict that you and I have. Especially if you're the person here, you're a conspiracy person, or you're a person that you got to figure it out. You're a numbers guy, which, whew, math guy. I mean, math is like the devil. Sorry, all my mathematicians, you can tell I did not like math. It's the reason I went to Bible college. They didn't even offer it. Did you feel a call in the ministry? Not really. I just went to the school that didn't have math. If you're trying to figure it out, you may never figure it out. And then let me ask you this. Say you do figure it out. What now? The purpose of our detours is to showcase God's glory both to our enemies and for the sake of our faith. Listen, everything God does is for his glory. His glory. John 14, that whole chapter, I challenge you, I encourage you to read it. I challenge you, encourage you to read the whole chapter. I'm not going to do that for you today. I'm going to read 6-7 verses from that. Verse 12, Jesus says this, I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works that I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. Verse 13, you can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. This is what Jesus did. Everything Jesus did was to bring glory to the Father. And that you and I, as individuals, as men and women, that we are called to do greater things than Jesus, which this causes, I know, small groups are discussing this. I'm discussing this. This is a grander verse than you and I can have on a Sunday morning. We have to have discussions. If Jesus said that I can do greater things than what Jesus did, forget when's the last time you saw blinded eyes open. When was the last time you prayed for a blind person? If I can do great, when was the last funeral you went to and you prayed for the dead to rise? But I think it's so much deeper than just miracles. The greater things that you and I get to experience is that we're experiencing them right now. Jesus was limited to a geographic location. We're experiencing the greater, spreading the. Jesus saw thousands come to know him. The disciples saw millions. Peter stood up and he preached and 3,000 people got saved that day. Jesus never experienced that. Peter was doing greater things. You and I are doing greater things. Do I believe God heals? Absolutely he does. I've seen it. I've experienced it. But the miracle of healing is just one aspect. I think it's a miracle that some of you are in this room today. Amen. I think it's a miracle that we're all in this room today. I think it's a miracle that your marriage survives. I think the greater things that you and I experience is so much deeper. And I would say this. 126 times Jesus encountered people. Okay? You can look this up. He encountered people. Only 6 times was it inside the temple or the church building. What does that mean? That means Jesus lived in the marketplace a long time, most of the time, that the miracles that Jesus was experiencing was not in this building. Is it a miracle that we're here? Absolutely. The bigger miracle is that you go to work, though, and that you give testimony of what God has done in your life, and now in the marketplace, in your workplace, instead of being a person that is bringing animosity and craziness to your work, instead of being that person, you're bringing love and compassion. That is incredible. And I would even say it's a miracle. It's greater things. There's so many things. But all of it, you guys, cannot be intentional to bring glory to yourself. It's to bring glory to God. glory to God. This is not about making our name famous. This is not about putting our name in lights or in front of ministries. It's about making God famous, making His Son and the Holy Spirit famous. Why? Again, you have to understand what he's saying. Verse 25, he says, I'm telling you these things now while I'm still with you. But when the Father sends the Advocate as my representative, that is the Holy Spirit, he will teach you everything and will remind you of everything that I've told you, that Jesus told you. I'm leaving you with a gift, peace of mind and heart. And the peace I give is a gift that the world cannot give. So don't be troubled or afraid. Remember what I told you. I'm going away and I will come back to you again. If you really love me, you would be happy that I'm going to the Father who is greater than I am. I've told you these things before they happen so that when they do happen, you will believe. He's explaining to us that there's greater things that you and I get to experience. The whole intention of doing these greater things is that God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit is glorified. Okay? That's why the detour may happen. Third thing is when a detour feels threatening or confusing, we can trust God is there to protect us. Exodus 14 mentions twice that God put walls of water around the Israelites, that they literally made their way on dry ground. That's the bigger miracle, but on dry ground. Not like it was soggy and they're getting muddy. It was they were on dry ground. They indicate that God's presence and protection goes with us. You and I have to understand that even though we're in a detour, even though it feels threatening, it feels confusing, that we can trust that God is with us. Anytime you experience this in your life, not in your car, but in your life, meaning life has happened to you and it's not what you thought, it's not what you expected, it didn't happen in your timely manner, it was very unexpected. I would say most of the time you experience a detour, GPS did not tell you. Most of the time you experience a detour, it was unexpected. It's like being punched in the stomach. The promise that you and I have to experience is that God is there with us. That's the promise. The fourth thing is, detours cause us to see the bigger picture we would have never seen otherwise. There is a bigger picture in play. There's a bigger picture that is happening. Have you ever been on a detour and you discover places you would have never discovered otherwise? And they're nice places. They're beautiful places. You know what's so unique about them? Is you would have never noticed them had you not been on a detour. I think about people who've gotten the worst news in their life and the news of you're sick or you have cancer or you're dying. That's the worst news. It's the ultimate detour. But the amount of people that you meet along the detour, the nurses, the doctors, people you would have never met otherwise had you not been on that detour. Or how about this? The nurses and the doctors who would have never met you. And we're able to say things like, man, you're going through one of the worst tragedies anybody could, but your faith is so strong. You're a demonstration of God's grace and God's mercy upon your life that you would have never been able to experience had you not been on a detour and gone to places you have never gone before. That this is the bigger picture. Because again, Jesus is saying, and let me say this, you guys. I'm a guy that believes in healing, a guy that believes in miracles. I believe there's peace that can come in your crazy situation. Not peace that comes that changes your situation, but changes you in the middle of the situation. I believe that. But can I say this? We're all still going to die one day. Well, that's fun. It's realistic. Do you know that Lazarus, even though he's raised from the dead, he died. He eventually died. We don't see the bigger picture. We don't see the bigger picture because, listen, when I told guys this on Tuesday during small group. When I was youth pastoring in Granite City, there was a principal there by the name of Alan Kreider. And Alan Kreider was healed of cancer. And he let everybody know he was healed of cancer. And I would say I would even call it a revival happened at Grigsby Middle School during that time. Why? Because Alan Kreider was not unashamed. He was unashamed to go up and down the hallways. He was allowing kids to pray over the intercom, share Bible verses over the intercom in a public school. Why? Because this guy, you couldn't take that away from him. He was radically changed. He heard the news that everybody longs to hear, your cancer is gone. But 7 years later, he died of cancer. So some would go, what was the point? The point was to bring God glory. The point was that you may not understand the reasoning for what. The point is, even though he had experienced a miracle, it doesn't change the fact that he was going to die. The bigger picture is that God might be doing something in the middle of your detour, and you may never know the big picture. You may never know the reasons why, and God's got a plan. And you either trust that or you fight it. And you know how you fight it? You're angry at God. You're bitter at God. And I'm just telling you right now, that's cancer in of itself. It's cancer in your friendships, your relationships. People don't want to be around you anymore because you're an angry person. They tolerate you at Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, but they don't want to be around you. Why? Because you've chosen bitterness and anger instead of going, God, I trust you. And that the more that you have from my life is through the detour. Last thing, God uses detours to make firm our hope, and trust is in Him. Philippians 1, 19-20 says, "For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. As it is my eager expectations and hope that I will not be at all ashamed, and that with full courage now as always, Christ will be honored in my body, whether by life or by death. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain." This is what Paul's telling the Philippian church. He's saying, listen, I've come to the conclusion that no matter what happens to me, if I'm still alive and I'm in prison, or I've asked the Lord 3 times to take this thorn of the flesh away from me, and all He says is, He doesn't heal me, but all He says is, my grace is sufficient for you. Whether I'm alive, I will tell you this, if I'm alive, I'm going to spread the gospel, I'm going to spread the name of Jesus, whether I'm in prison, or whether I'm hurting, or whether I'm shipwrecked, or whether I'm cast out. It says in another translation that his friends had even turned his back on him. He says, it doesn't matter. If I'm alive, it's Christ. If I die, it's gain. What was he living with? He was living with an eternal mindset. An eternal mindset. In 1873, a man had received a message from his wife who had sailed with their 4 daughters to Europe. He had planned to meet them soon, but the note read, "Saved alone." 2 words, saved alone. She and the girls had been in a terrible collision at sea, and their ship had gone down. All 4 daughters died. It was just the latest awful news in 3 horrifying years for the family. They had lost their son 3 years before, and then a massive fire ruined them financially the next year, all before this accident at sea taking the lives of his 4 daughters. The man was Horatio Spafford. As he crossed the sea to meet his grieving wife, he penned these words, "When peace, like a river, attendeth my way. When sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught me to say, it is well. It is well with my soul." He didn't pen that in 1870 when life was good and his 5 kids were alive and financially they were booming. He penned that when he lost literally almost everything. But to him, he hadn't lost everything because he still had Christ. Which was Paul's point. Though I lose everything, maybe even my body, I still haven't lost everything because I still have Christ. When I close my eyes at the end of the day or for the very last time, it is gain. That's an eternal mindset, you guys. And we can have peace and we can have faith, even joy, even when we lose everything. Because with Christ, we never lose everything. See, you were made for more. Every single person in this room, you were made for more. But the detours that happen to you might be the more that God wants you to experience. Do I see detour as more of God? Do I see detours as more for me? I'm going to pray, and we're going to watch a quick video. Okay? God, I pray today, God, that no matter what we're facing today, I pray 2017 was going to be on a detour. This is not how they thought 2017 was going to be. Whether it be a job loss, a sudden death. And their heart is aching. God, is this it? As they grieve and as they wrestle with what is happening to them, God, I pray that the God of more would become alive in them. God, I pray that we would get to the place where your peace so overwhelms us that we too could pen the phrase, "It is well with my soul." Guys, go ahead.
With me.